B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The great Jimmy Lyon, I'm the coach on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jim!
How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm not good, Jim. I'm not good. I am. Thank God. Are you down the shore? Are you down the shore?
Yeah, I'm hunkered down here looking out at the bay, watching these these white caps smack into the boats there.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, you're the one to be careful. I'm in Bala Cynwyd, right? We're inland. You're right there in the heart of that thing.
Big time winds down here.
Damn. Well, watch yourself, coach. We love you. You know that. Yeah, I'm not good, though, with this team. I hate the way they play. I hate the rotation. And I need help. Their defensive performance, and I know Ben was in foul trouble last night, but this is wretched. These are bad teams. The Pacers, the Pacers are playing without Sabonis and Brogdon. You had this team that has one credible player in DeRozan and what's his face? Is it Rudy Gay's 1,000 years old? I mean, what are they doing?
No, I would have to say that you're on target, that their performance in these first two games has been underwhelming at best. But I think Coach Brett Brown, if he were sitting here with us or on the line with us, I think he'd be in total agreement with you. If you saw him after the game last night, number one, he said we were very fortunate to win, which they were. And he said, and this defense, when he was asked a question about their defense, and he said it simply will not get it done. You know, he didn't want to disrespect San Antonio, but he essentially said against good playoff caliber teams. And I would say that the fourth quarter defense in particular in these two games, that he's dead on. You're not going to survive in the playoffs playing like that.
And you know what, though, Jim? I think it's rotation-based. Because I don't think you can play Korkmaz, Neto, and Shake and expect to be a good defensive or a playoff caliber defensive team.
Again, I think Brett would agree with you, Anthony, except I think what we may be seeing here, and maybe it was there and I didn't spy it. I think this bench is showing signs that it's problematic. I don't know that you have, you know, enough reliable, particularly defensive players. And the irony here is that, like, that J.J. Redick is not here. I think that was a defensive decision, meaning a decision that we love the guy offensively, but if we're going to go deeper in the playoffs and be a real contender, you know, we need perimeter defense. And obviously that's not J.J.'s strength, albeit he's a terrific offensive player. So it's a little ironic to me that you made decisions and moves geared toward the defensive end of the court that we're not seeing that come to fruition.
Yeah. You're so right. And here's the thing. I don't want to, you know, completely, like, I don't want to be difficult, but Shake Milton should be, there's no way that Shake should be starting. It's not who you are. It's like an 11th hour desperate heave to try to do something. I know, he's in a tough spot because it comes down to Simmons and shooting the ball and being aggressive. But, you know, by moving Simmons off the ball and inserting Shake, you're really bad defense. You've lost a lot defensively. Simmons looks out of whack. I don't know what you do, coach.
No, I was not, and again, Ben Simmons is the type of player I think that most people would be in agreement. You could play him at any position on the floor, given what his skill set is, and he's certainly going to be a good player for you. But I think most people would be in agreement that what he does best is play with the ball in his hands. And I think, this is just me now, you know, that too much is made of his inability to make a shot. Are there times when that, you know, could be a big deal? Of course. But the fact of the matter, he's played at an all-star level 2 years with the ball in his hands, playing at the point and not shooting from the perimeter. That surprised me a bit. I have no problem, as you know, I've said this to you before. I love Shake's run. I love the poise that he plays with. That shot that he made last night, given the fact of what he had done in the previous game, you know, which was the first game after a 3 month hiatus, that was a huge shot. And I think that kind of points out the demeanor of this young fella. And I also would point out on Shake's behalf, Anthony, if you have Shake in the lineup, you know he had one shot against Indiana. He shot the ball one time, and that's simply not who he is. If you have him in the lineup, he's got to be a part of the offense. And I think...
Yes, and that's why, but again, if it's me, that's why I bring him off the bench, because...
Well, not necessarily. No, I'm going to say it a different way. And who would you put in the game as a starter? Yeah, and again, you know I have no problem with that.
I know.
But Matisse, last night, let me look at it. It's right here in front of me. Matisse was a minus 10 last night. And we had a conversation. You were saying about inexperienced guys at the defensive end, you know, they're less likely. How about fouling the three-point jump shooter? That's the kind of mistake an inexperienced defensive player makes.
Yeah,
a guy, an inexperienced player, being an offensive guy or a defensive guy, it doesn't matter. They're a bit prone to making, you know, mistakes that inexperienced players would make. And, you know, it's good. And, you know, I love Bible. He makes a lot of things happen. But he's sometimes a little bit of a loose cannon out there.
Yeah, but I agree. I agree with you. My only point in telling you that was you... Yeah, and that was a terrible mistake. I agree with you. But inexperience can disrupt an offense way more, right? Like, and that's what I believe. I just believe that if you have a guy who is now has the ball in his hands, that's a big deal as opposed to a guy that will have some inexperience and foul three-point shooter. You now have a kid with the ball in his hands in the most important time. I don't see how that makes good basketball sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to play out. We'll see. Yeah. You know, because hopefully Shake is, you know, more like the stable, solid guy he was last night than the guy who got himself into. And early foul trouble is a big deal. You saw how it affected Ben Simmons last night. So I think the fact that Shake got in early foul trouble in game one against the Pacers, and that he wasn't involved offensively. If he's out there for 20 minutes, he has to have more than one shot. When you expect a guy, like he got an open shot last night to win the game, to his credit, he makes it. 6 seconds to go, down two. That's a big field goal. Watch. If he had not had a shot the whole time he'd been out there up to that point, are you going to expect the kid to make a shot then?
Of course not. Here's all right. Let's leave that aside for a second. We're talking to the great Jimmy Lynam. I close my eyes and I go, all right, caller brought this up. Seventh game of the NBA Finals. And I start thinking, all right, let me close my eyes. And I see we're playing the Clippers, right? And you got, you know, killers. George, Leonard, Beverly, like just nasties, right? And then I think about this Sixer team and I go,
yeah, throw Lou Williams in there. He's going to be on the court.
Right. And I go, who would be on the floor for me if I'm the Sixers against those monsters, those playoff or put LeBron, whoever you want. And I come to the conclusion that Embiid belongs on the floor, Harris belongs on the floor. I'm not so sure anybody else does.
Oh, you got to throw Simmons in there. Come on.
Well, but, you know, it's big moments, and I need you to play big.
Well, if he's not going to play big, let's be honest, Anthony, we may as well have terminate this conversation right now in terms of talking about, you know, who the Sixers are or what their chances are. I mean, Ben Simmons has to figure prominently into anything they do in terms of post.
I agree. I just don't know if he's there yet.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Again, I expected him, and he had a miserable two games, and I love the kid, you know that. I expect more out of him.
And you're right, you should expect more, but I'm not throwing the term miserable. The first game, you know, he was decent. It wasn't his best, I'll give you that. And last night, obviously, he was subpar, and you could see how frustrated he was.
Yeah.
But foul trouble can do that.
Yeah.
You know, he never established the rhythm. He was in and out. But that you're dead on that you need a lot more from Ben Simmons than we've seen in these two games. And Anthony, let me point something out.
Sure.
These teams in general, right now, the offense is so far ahead of the defense, it's not even close. These scores are, I haven't seen the breakdown of the numbers after, you know, whatever, how many games. What the Sixers have played two. I think some teams, a couple, have played three. But these teams are averaging over 118, I guarantee. I'd bet that. And maybe closer to 120. Somebody texted me late the night I worked the first game and said, Coach, six games today, all over the number. Meaning, you know,
Las Vegas. Yeah, yeah.
So it points out the defense, the pace of these, it's a little bit of, and whether the bubble is part of it, I really think it's conditioning and lack of playing, but it has a summer league, and they're very enjoyable, but a summer league pace to it of running up and down.
Yeah.
And as a result, you run up and down like that for three quarters, and now you turn as a coach and look at your guys. All right, guys, now we really got to lock it down now in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it has a feel like that to it. Except with some of the better teams, like I've watched Toronto, and they're at that veteran.
Is Milwaukee one of the better teams?
Yeah, although they played the Rockets.
They were up eight with 3 minutes to go against Houston and lost.
Yeah, I mean that Rockets team is so.
Well, I'm just giving you an example. The defense is not what we normally would see or expect. Certainly, in for a playoff ready defense. And obviously the Sixers, you know, are the leader of that pack right now. They've given up 40-plus points in two straight quarters.
And these are two teams.
You're right.
That aren't credible. Hey, listen, you know, the Rockets put 50 up in the fourth quarter against you. You know, I'm not happy, but I understand it, right?
Well,
not these two teams.
The other night, Anthony, and this is also one of the reasons the offense is so far ahead, the Rockets took 91 shots in that game against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Take a guess if you didn't see the puck. How many threes, the 91 shots, how many do you think were three-point attempts? And you won't get the number. I'm telling you right now, unless you saw the box.
I didn't say it. I watched part of the game.
Take a guess. Houston, I'll even give you this. 91 shots. Houston shoots the most threes in the league.
Yeah.
Give me a guess.
Yeah, 55.
You ready? How about 61?
Yeah, that's crazy.
61 of 91 shots.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Were threes.
No, I mean, it's insane. The Sixers shot 31 last night, 31 threes, and they made 45% of them, right? 14 out of 31. It's too.
Which could take every night of the week.
Yeah, but here's what I won't take is because that's not who they are. They're not a three-point shooting team. They're a team
that needs to win playing defense
and attacking the rim.
Anthony, but here's what happens. Would you give them that they did a pretty good job of putting the ball in Joel's hands?
Yes.
Okay. Would you then say the Spurs, who had obviously they're guarding Joel Embiid with a fellow by the name of Poeltl?
Yes.
Okay, who's a decent NBA player. So as a result, what does San Antonio do? They double time after time after time and give Joe credit. He got rid of the ball.
He did.
Threw the ball out of the double.
Yeah.
You have to shoot the three at that point. That's the whole point. And because you're getting wide open threes, you have a chance to shoot over 40%.
Yeah.
And that's who the Sixers better be if they're going to have a chance to go deep in the playoffs.
And listen.
And you may be right. Maybe they're not capable of making enough threes.
See, here's my argument is that, and again, I'm not saying you never take the three. And I'm not saying that, you know, it, when there's collapse, if Richardson is open, he shot eight of them. That's great. You got to take them. If you're open, he hit three of them. That's fine. Harris. But the problem is when Korkmaz is in the game, whatever he gives you from three, he'll give up more, right? Because if he's in the game. Or Neto.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's the problem.
You're right, Anthony, you're right, but watch. That's not like we've never seen that before. I'll take a player, Lou Williams, who's a tremendous, as you know, late game offensive player. Come on, he's a little bit of a liability defensively.
Yeah.
That's true of a lot of great offense.
It is, but again, Lou Williams can score at such a clip that he'll make up. I know you're not.
Korkmaz, Lou Williams.
I know you're not. I get it. Fundamentally speaking.
Shooting.
Yeah.
You need Korkmaz to be a productive 3-point shooter. And the fact that he is a defensive liability at times, which you're dead on, you're right. You have to somehow, you know, either accept it and or cover up for him. One or the other.
See, I cover up. You brought up J.J. Redick. Like J.J. Redick, I can count on. They hit a flurry of threes. Like, I can count on him more than I can count on a Korkmaz because he's one out of every three or four games, he's going to hit threes. He's going to hit his shots. Whereas JJ,
Korkmaz is not JJ Redick. He's not Lou Williams, but I think he's done a pretty good job. He's shooting just under 40% from three, and that, I think that's.
Yeah.
A guy doing his job.
Maybe I hold him up to a different standard. I guess my expectations are so different. I just thought by now that they would be they would look more like the Clippers and the Lakers and the Bucks, and they don't.
Anthony, I am with you. I did too, but I think I'm just sitting there with the computer on my lap, and you look at these bench names. You know, they don't jump off the page. Let's be honest. You and I both like Matisse Thybul, but come on.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to scare the Lakers or Clippers with 2 minutes to go in a 1-point game. We would like them out there defensively, but how about at the other end if there's no timeout, the ball swings to him with 4 seconds on the clock? I mean, you know, it shows that they're playing with a little bit of a lean bench.
Yeah. Hey, what? Last thing, Coach. What about Horford? I mean, is there any salvaging Horford?
Yeah, I actually I liked his play last night. He had a poor first half against the Pacers, and I thought he bounced back and played decently the second half, despite the fact that his number, you know, his plus minus number was a disaster. But that's a little bit circumstantial, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
You're on the court with the point guard could be throwing the ball all over the place. But last night I thought he did a decent job. And
would you ever go back to the original five? Would you ever go back to that?
I wouldn't throw it, you know, out the window. To be honest with you, I think that's what this stretch is about. You know, six more games. And, you know, you I heard you earlier, you're dead on. They have to get some form of rotation. And I agree with you also that you have to be real careful of not having too many bad or subpar defenders on the court at the same time. But Al Horford is a solid player. We know that. That he's getting a little long in the tooth, yes. I'm just looking. I didn't know what his plus minus last night was, plus 17. So if we knocked him for being a minus 26, let's pat him on the back for a plus 17. And I think Brett did point out the fact that Shake gets that open jumper is absolutely related to the fact that the ball was in Horford's hands at the top of the circle in 3-point land as he's looking to dump it down into Joel. You know, you can't just give any Tom, Dick, or Harry a ball and saying, and I need you to deliver it to Joe. Well, you can do that with confidence with Al Horford. So they put the ball in Horford's hands, and he made the right decision. He saw Shake's man plug him way down, almost sitting in Joe's lap. So as much as he wanted to throw that ball to Embiid, no, Milton. And I give Horford credit that he had enough confidence in the young kid, and obviously the Shake delivers.
Yeah, I tell you, Coach, it's always great talking to you. You calm me down.
Yeah, well, you asked, your insights, I call big picture. You know, and I listen to your show. You're on target with a lot of your thoughts, and, you know, it motivates good conversation from your callers, and they offer a lot of good thoughts.
Yeah,
but
they do.
I think the one thing I would point out, Anthony, that all teams, especially teams who are serious contenders, and we hope that the Sixers are, they haven't really established that to the degree that, let's say, the teams you mentioned, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bucks, you know, those three, for sure, by virtue of their play, are more serious contenders than we really can definitively say about the Sixers right now. We hope they are, if they can solve some of these issues. And, maybe I'm a little bit of an optimist. I guess I am. But I like this team. I think this team has possibilities. But for the first time last night when I was watching, I said, this bench, I know Glenn Robinson mm-hmm. III's not here, Mike Scott's mm-hmm. not here, but, you know, those guys don't move the needle enough. They're going to have to get it done, you know, with their, like you said, like Ben Simmons. Ben, we need you to be Ben Simmons.
Yeah,
because we're not going to get enough on a consistent basis to really move the needle from the guys on the bench.
Coach, you're the best. Listen, be safe down there, okay?
All right, buddy. Good talking as
always. Great. Be careful, brother. We love you. Take it easy. Jimmy Lyon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.